Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, titled Status Quo, Chapter 14, Pregnancy of Diti in the Evening, Text Number 6. Translation by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. By hearing these topics from the sage Narada, the son of King Uttanapa, Dhruva, was enlightened regarding the personality of Godhead. And he ascended to the abode of the Lord, placing his feet over the head of death. I repeat responsibly. By hearing these topics from the sage Narada, the son of King Uttanapa, Dhruva, was enlightened regarding the personality of Godhead. And he ascended to the abode of the Lord, placing his feet over the head of death. Purport. While quitting his body, Maharaj Dhruva, the son of King Uttanapa, was attended by personalities like Sunanda and others, who received him in the kingdom of God. He left this world at an early age, as a young boy, although he had attained the throne of his father and had several children of his own. Because he was due to quit the world, this world, death was waiting for him. He did not care for death. However, and even with his present body, he boarded a spiritual plane and went directly to the planet of Vishnu because of his association with the great sage Narada, who had spoken to him the narration of the pastimes of the Lord. I'll just read that again. While quitting his body, Maharaj Dhruva, the son of King Uttanapa, was attended by personalities like Sunanda and others, who received him in the kingdom of God. He left this world at an early age as a young boy, although he had attained the throne of his father and had several children of his own. Because he was due to quit this world, death was waiting for him. He did not care for death, however, and even with his present body, he boarded a spiritual airplane and went directly to the planet of Vishnu because of his association with the great sage Narada, who had spoken to him the narration of the pastimes of the Lord. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshur Ulmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manovistam Snapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sva Padantika Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Translation again. By hearing these topics from the sage Narada, the son of King Uttanapa, Dhruva was enlightened regarding the personality of Godhead, and he ascended to the abode of the Lord, placing his feet over the head of death. Hare Krishna. Good to see all of you here. Wonderful spring morning. Suryadev is brightly giving us darshan out there. And good to see many of you still here. Goes to show that you're all enthusiastic about hearing, which is what today's topic is all about. Now, I like to begin the class with doing a bit of flashback, a revision to like set the stage for two reasons. One is it gives a better flow of the class, and number two, it actually puts all of you on the same page, because some of you were here yesterday, some not, and some probably been here every day. So to know how the Bhagavatam is flowing so far, we'll just put things in perspective. So this is a conversation taking place between two very exalted, self-realized personalities. Who are they? Vidura and Maitreya. Who is Vidura? Yes, and he is also in previous life. In his previous life, he was Yamaraj. Okay, how did he become Vidura in this life? Okay, who cursed him? Mandav Muni. Okay, so some of you already know the pastime, but I'll still very briefly, very quickly tell the pastime. So, a few thieves were hidden in Mandav Muni's ashram, and Mandav Muni was caught with the thieves, and he was being sentenced to death by impaling. Okay, they were about to impale him, then the king said, no, you shouldn't impale him, and he was saved. Then he went to Yamaraj and said, why was I given this severe punishment for just thieves were caught in my ashram? Then Yamaraj said, well, when you were small, you actually took a sharp straw and you pierced an ant. Okay, so Mandav Muni got very angry. He said, look, childlike activities, you know, children do what they do. And for that small activity, you're punishing me to be killed like this. I curse you. I curse you in your next life. You'll be born as a Shudra. Okay, son of a maid servant. So that's how Yamaraj got to be born as Vidura. But Vidura, as Krishna's cousin, he was actually going on pilgrimage for many, many years and became very exalted in his consciousness. Then who's the other personality in this conversation? Maitreya Muni. Okay, and Maitreya Muni is also a very, very exalted, self-realized personality, and he got the darshan of the Lord before the Lord departed the material world. Okay, Maitreya Muni was with Uddhava when they got the final darshan from the Lord. And then Maitreya Muni is also qualified to speak the Bhagavatam because he had heard the Bhagavatam from his guru Parashara. Okay, and his guru Parashara heard it from Sankhyayana Muni. And Sankhyayana Muni heard it from Sanat Kumar. And Sanat Kumar heard it from Lord Shankarshan himself. Okay, so Maitreya Muni is definitely qualified to speak the Bhagavatam. So there's this meeting. Where are they meeting? Where is this conversation taking place? On the banks of the Ganges, Haridwar, near Haridwar. Okay, so they have met there, and there's this wonderful conversation taking place. And given that they're already so exalted, so self-realized, do they need to speak this? Who are they speaking for? Us. Okay, they're speaking for benefit of mankind, all the conditioned souls. Okay, and these topics of that they are speaking about, it's very deep, very philosophical, and the questions by Vidura are short, but the answers are very, very long, very elaborate by Maitreya Muni, because there's so much to talk about from short questions. Now, it's just the reverse. That's how it was in the Vedic times, those early yugas. But today is just the opposite. Today, the questions are long, but the answers are short. Like, I got two sons. I ask them, how was school today? The answer is, good. What did you learn? Nothing. Just the opposite. Okay? So much so for conversation. But here they are, very, very deeply talking about the glories of God, and it starts off with creation. Okay, Vidura asks about creation. Maitreya Muni starts talking about primary creation, how the Lord expanded into Mahavishnu, Garbhadayakashaya Vishnu, Shirodayakashaya Vishnu, and then how Lord Brahma took birth from the lotus flower, the stem, and how Lord Brahma then started secondary creation. Lord Brahma then, of course, started creating with ignorance, nations. Then he felt bad about that. He introduced then knowledge in the form of the four Kumaras. He told the four Kumaras, his sons, go create progeny. What did they do? They said, no, we don't want to do that. And they went off on their path of realization because they were very elevated personalities. And then Lord Brahma had this duty to populate the earth. So he got very angry with his four sons who refused to populate the earth, and from his forehead, who manifested? Rudra. Rudra manifested, and his Lord Shiva, he came in the form of anger, and he started producing progeny who were all very angry as well. Not the type of progeny that the world needed. And Lord Brahma said, no, hang on, now is not your time. And he told him to go and meditate in the forest first, wait for his time to come back and display his anger. 10 sages were then born from Lord Brahma. And then after the 10 sages, who appeared? Swayambhuva Manu and Shatarupa. I used the word appeared. I didn't say they were born from Brahma. Okay? Because the Bhagavatam says nobody knows where they came from. Because if they were born from Brahma, that makes them brother and sister. So if brother and sister get married, produce children, what that makes us? Products of legitimate union, yeah? So they appeared. So because they appeared from Lord Brahma's body, then they engaged in union to actually produce progeny, to populate the earth. And Lord Brahma was happy with the progeny taking place. And he told, he gave instructions to Swayambhuva Manu. He said, now beget children who are as qualified as you. He also said, govern your place of population according to the principles of devotional service, glorifying the Lord, and protect whoever that you are producing. Then Swayambhuva Manu asks him, where do I actually start this population? Okay, and it's meant to take place on Bhumi Devi, earth. But where was earth at that time? Right at the bottom of the Garbhodakaya ocean. So then, Lord Brahma couldn't actually lift the earth. And he started meditating. And when he meditated, what happened? From his nostril, a boar came out the size of the tip of the thumb. And that boar then quickly grew larger and larger and larger and larger. And that is Lord Varaha. Okay? Took the form of a boar. And history is being made. This is the first ever incarnation of the Lord in the material world. Right? And Melbourne is fortunate because we do have a Shaligram Shila on the altar who is Lord Varaha. Do you all know who that is? Okay. You see on the altar there, next to Chota Radharani, there's an asan, silver asan. He is the middle personality. On that asan, there are three personalities. Okay, just next to Chota Radharani. Okay, so three personalities you got. First, closest to Radharani is Lord Ram. And next to Lord Ram is Lord Varaha. And next to Lord Varaha is Lord Sudarshan. Okay, so that asan there has got all the three fighting personalities. Okay, alright. So there you go. Now you know Lord Varaha is with us too. Hi. Melbourne is so fortunate. Okay, and so Lord Varaha actually manifests. He gets a cameo mention here. When I say cameo, it's like he quickly is mentioned by Maitreya Muni that Lord Varaha appeared, killed who? Killed Hiranyaksha, the first demon. Again, there's lots of history being made. First demon, okay? And then quickly, Maitreya Muni says, Lord Varaha goes back to his abode. Then this creates Vidura to become very inquisitive. First quality for hearing is we have to be inquisitive. Okay? And we've got to be inquisitive to ask about the glories of the Lord. So he asked, what was the reason for Lord Boar to actually come and kill this demon? And that brings us to this topic here where it's the chapter here is pregnancy of Diti in the evening. So now we are talking about progeny being created, the earth is being populated, Swayambhuva Manu and Shatarupa are now with the earth floating on the Garbhodakaya ocean, already saved by Lord Borg, he's placed the earth on the waters of the Garbhataka ocean. And Swayambhuva Manu and Shatarupa are populating with progeny. Now they've got 5 children. Who are they? 5 children of Swayambhuva Manu and Shatarupa are 2 sons, 3 daughters. Who are the 2 sons? Priyavarta and Uttanapad. Okay, and 3 daughters, Akuti, Devahuti and Prasuti. Now, Prasuti married Daksha. Daksha and Prasuti then got 16 daughters. 13 of those daughters married who? Kashyapa. And one of the 13 is Diti. Alright, that's how the connection is now coming. Alright, another daughter is Sati, who married Lord Shiva. Then on the other side, Uttanapad has 2 wives. Who are they? Suruchi and Suniti. And Suruchi's son is called Uttama. And Suniti's son is called Dhruva. There you go, today's link here. Alright, so you see how it's all now cascading down from Lord Brahma. Population of the earth is now taking shape, where these personalities are beginning to populate the earth. Alright, and these pastimes through Bhagavatam flow according to these various personalities glorifying the Lord. And in that process of flowing, we also see the earth getting populated with more and more conditioned souls. I use the phrase conditioned souls because we are then also part of this group of conditioned souls. Okay, we have taken birth on earth. Now, and what's happening with these conditioned souls? Where are they coming from? They're coming from the spiritual world, where these conditioned souls have left their eternal relationship, their eternal constitutional position in serving the Lord in the spiritual sky. In the want to enjoy independent of Krishna, these conditioned souls actually came here. Okay, and we are fortunate to be, well, in one sense, it's unfortunate that we have left the Lord and we are on this earth now. But we are fortunate in the sense that there are only 2 planets in the material world where we can directly go back to Godhead. And the 2 planets are, one is Satyalok, the other one is Earth, Bhumi. Okay, so we are on a very, very blessed position in one sense. On the other hand, we are utterly stupid for having left the Lord. Okay, so over the years, over the many, many yugas, Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, Dwapara Yuga, and Kali Yuga, all these conditioned souls are going through the cycle of birth, death, old age, and disease. Okay, caught up enjoying independent of Krishna. And we think we are enjoying, we are actually entangled in the modes of material nature, and we are suffering. We are suffering in a way because this is a place of misery, dukkhalayam shashvatam, but we don't know it. We live life as though this is paradise. Okay? The material world is the fool's paradise. Okay? We can see what's happening with all these yugas after yugas after yugas. We're just going through this cycle. And we are expected to actually realize our position, to know our prayojana is to go back to God, where we belong, and to know that we have got a relationship with God, our sambandha, and to engage in the process, the abhideya of devotional service to go back, but we are not doing that. Instead, we are all servants of maya, illusion. Okay? Instead of becoming Krishna Das or Krishna Dasi, we are becoming Maya Das or Maya Dasi. So, again, in that, in one way, we are fortunate because we have got connected to Krishna consciousness, that there are many out there who haven't. So we are here trying to fulfill our material desires independently of God. And like how the analogy that we hear, there are two birds sitting on a branch. One is the Paramatma, the other one is the Jivatma. Okay, the Paramatma is always looking at the bird, the conditioned soul, Jivatma. But where is the Jivatma looking? Away from the Lord. Jivatma is busy looking at Maya, busy chasing the material dreams. And the Lord is lovingly hoping that this conditioned soul would have the realization, the sense to actually slowly turn around. And no, we are going deeper and deeper and deeper into material entanglement. Look around us, look at what's happening over the years. Do you actually see things improving in terms of God realization in society out there? Every day we read the news, it's nothing exciting, nothing. It's not a society which is promoting God consciousness. It is a society which is promoting godlessness. Spiritual knowledge is Raja Vidya, Raja Goyam. It's the king of education. It's the king of confidential spiritual knowledge. But today in society, godlessness is Raja Vidya, Raja Goyam for the materialists. You talk about God, they run away. You talk about godlessness, you talk about footy, you talk about the stock market, you talk about buying property, yes. The ears prick up. Okay, let's talk more, let's engage more in this katha. Okay. Now, with all this happening, the ever-loving Father, Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Paramatma who is constantly looking at the conditioned soul, the bird sitting on the branch, he's not letting go. He has followed us to this material world. He knows we belong there with him in the spiritual sky. We've got an eternal position with him to serve him. So, in the effort to actually bring us back, he comes down. He actually comes down to deliver us. And this was actually shown when Bhumi Devi, as I said, with all this population on Bhumi Devi, with all this godlessness prevailing, with this demoniac qualities actually becoming stronger on the face of the earth, Bhumi Devi was suffering. She was overburdened with the principles of demoniac principles, activities on her surface. So what did she do? She started crying out of compassion for the conditioned souls, and she went and actually cried to Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma then went to the shores of the milk ocean with all the demigods, and what did they do? They prayed. They prayed for the Lord himself to descend. 5,000 years ago, the Lord, out of compassion for the fallen souls, actually personally came. He did not come alone. He came with his abode. He came with his name, his form, his pastimes, his paraphernalia. He came because of the growth of irreligion. He came because he says, paritranaya sadhanam vinasaya cha duskritam dharma samstapanataya sambhavami. He said, I'll come. Millennium after millennium, I'll come. Where there's degradation of religion and where godlessness is, demonic qualities are actually increasing on the world, I'll come. And he came to actually show, not to show actually, he came to teach. He came to teach how we should be attracted to his loving qualities. He came as a child, he took birth as a child, and he reciprocated. He gave the love as a child and for parents to actually enjoy the Vatsalya Ras. He came as a friend and played with his cowherd friends and cowherd boys and all that to enjoy this Sakiras. He gave many of his servants Dasyaras. And he enjoyed many pastimes with these gopis and with Radharani in conjugal pastimes, Madhurya Ras. The trees and the stones all gave him shade and shelter and place to rest in Santaras. And from the time he took birth, he was killing demons. He was trying to attract us back to him. He was paving the way, get rid of all these unwanted demons and trying to pave the way for us to go back to him, for us to awaken our dormant love within our hearts. He ruled as a king, Dwaraka, with proper leadership principles. But did we wake up? For all that he showed, for all the pastimes that he left behind, for all the enchanting music that he played on his flute, for all the wonderful cowherding pastimes that we heard, that we hear, have we woken up? Has that bird on that branch started turning to look at the other bird, the Paramatma? No. Obviously no, otherwise we wouldn't be here. 18 days the battle of Kurukshetra was fought. 640 million conditioned souls got liberated. Definitely we were not among that 640. Otherwise we wouldn't be here. So it goes to show how strongly we were chasing Maya. How firmly that little bird is still perched on that branch, looking away from the Lord, chasing after the material dreams, lusting and desiring all that we shouldn't be for all the material attachments. Lord Brahma created lust and desire from his heart, and here we are displaying that lust and all the material desires. But the Lord still did not let go. Lord Krishna went back to his abode. This all happened more than 5,000 years ago. But he still did not let go. He still wanted to show, he still wanted to recover us. So while we were busy chasing Maya, illusion, the Lord came again more than 500 years ago. He came as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And this time he came saying that, fine, if you, the conditioned soul, are chasing Maya, I will chase you with my mercy. I will chase you with my mercy. Everyone is free to take it. No discrimination, no qualification needed. Take it. He flooded Navadvip. He flooded Navadvip with the love of God. He came with the holy name, the Sankirtan movement. He said, sing, sing and dance the glories of the Lord. Sing and dance in front of the Lord. Hear the Bhagavatam. Associate with devotees. Live in a holy place. He gave us all this. But then, this was only flooding Navadvip. And India, Bharat Varsha. He lamented that he is a gardener, a simple gardener with the fruits from the tree of Krishna consciousness. He says, what can I do? One person, how can I distribute this love of Godhead from the tree of Krishna consciousness to everyone at large? Everyone needs this. Take it. It's free. So what did he do? He sent his Senapati. And who's that? Srila Prabhupada ki. He sent his Senapati who opened the treasure box of love of Godhead, causeless mercy. And what happened? He distributed. It went throughout the world. Everyone started receiving, all the conditioned souls. Now when Mahaprabhu left, did the bird on the branch turn and look around? Still no. Still busy. Even though Mahaprabhu came chasing with that mercy, the bird still did not turn and look around. Senapati Srila Prabhupada came and he gave this mercy. He flooded the world with this mercy. Sankirtan movement, he brought the holy name. Chant, sing gloriously. Did the bird look around? Have we woken up? Lord Krishna first came many thousands of years ago. He came to teach. Okay, he said, okay, I'm teaching you. Now surrender to me. Sarva dharman parijaya mam ekam saranam praja. Surrender to me. He said, teach, I'm teaching you. We didn't surrender. Fine, he went back. He came again in the mood of a devotee. He said, I'll show them how to live as a devotee. And we still didn't turn and look at God. Not enough. He sent his Senapati. They flood the earth. Give the mercy to everyone. And the question here that we got to really look within our heart is, have we truly woken up? Yes and no. The answer is yes and no. Because the yes may apply to you if you truly feel within your heart you are waking up. No, if you truly feel within your heart that for all the devotional service that we are engaged in, whether you are actually in the mode of ignorance. I can't speak for you, I can speak for myself. To me, it's a definite no. Haven't woken up. Prabhupada came, opened the treasure box, okay, and he engaged us in devotional service. Okay, in the 9 processes of devotional service, the 2 most important are hearing and chanting. Okay, and today we are talking about the glories of how Narada Muni, by glorifying the pastimes of the Lord to Dhruva Maharaj, how Dhruva Maharaj got liberated. Our problem is we want to have the cake and eat it as well. We want to have one food with Maya, we want to have the other food with Krishna. When it is convenient for us, we put our food with Maya, and when it is convenient for us, we put our food with Krishna. Because in devotional service is all about dovetailing our mind and our senses to the lotus feet of the Lord. But what we are doing is, we are engaging our senses in devotional service, but where is the mind? We go through devotional service process by the bhakti. Okay? Devotional service through rules and regulations. But the mind is somewhere else, not cooperating. It's taking trips around the world. The objective is, the problem is, the mind and the senses are not connected. But what we want to do is, we want to connect both, align both to the lotus feet of the Lord to attain Rupanuga Bhakti. Devotional service, I mean devotion, unalloyed devotion, spontaneous unalloyed devotion. Rupanuga Bhakti, that's what we need to do. But we got a problem. Okay, we seem to be in devotional service, we are practicing, but the mind is still not obedient. Even if you take the danda and beat it many times, it's still disobedient because that much contamination. As I said, we want to have one foot with Maya and want to have one foot with Krishna. When it's convenient for us, we actually turn to Maya. In our daily life, we actually go, we undertake devotional service, we go through our daily lives, it's like many hours in the day, we engage our activities which entangle us even more in the material world. In the menu of life, Krishna consciousness should be the main course. But what we do is, we sometimes treat Krishna consciousness as the pickle, the side dish. The material, the main course is the material world. The side dish is Krishna consciousness. We just take a little pinch and just put it on our tongue and say, wow, I'm now Krishna conscious, I'm a devotee. There needs to be a change. The bird sitting on, perched on the branch has to slowly turn around. Because God is not letting us go. We have chosen to leave Him. And He's sending all His associates. We are so fortunate that we've got Prabhupada who has come in this lifetime to associate with us and give us the mercy, the causeless mercy. It's time that we actually dig deep to be serious about how we want to progress in our devotional life. We don't have much time. We need hearing. Hearing comes in the forefront of our chanting. Actually, it's interesting. I heard a lecture by Harisori Prabhu. Harisori Prabhu, as we know, it was actually Srila Prabhupada's personal assistant. He said in one of his lectures, actually he said, Prabhupada was one time posed a question. How long did it take you to become perfect in chanting? Prabhupada answered 30 years. Prabhupada knew, he answered 30 years. He knew exactly when he perfected chanting. But how do you define perfection in chanting? Because it's like an ocean, it's so deep, you know. It's like, simply to my naive understanding, perfection in chanting is when we chant offenselessly, without offenses. Okay. And Harisori Prabhu actually did some research about this. And it took him back to Radha Damodar temple in Vrindavan, where Prabhupada stayed. Prabhupada, as we heard yesterday in the glorification, he took formal initiation when? 1932. So if you add 30 years to that, it takes to the year 1960, early 60s, okay, or late 50s, around that time, where Prabhupada was actually living in Radha Damodar temple. He was actually in the intense mood of devotion to write. He was actively writing, beginning to write. And it was researched by Harisori Prabhu that Prabhupada was empowered by the personalities, these acharyas, like his guru. Guru appeared in his dream and empowered Prabhupada as to how to write. Then Prabhupada also had visions there in, you know, in Radha Damodar temple. Those who have been there, you would know there's the kitchen where Prabhupada used to sit and look out the window at whose samadhi? Rupa Goswami's samadhi. So he was meditating, praying for Rupa Goswami to guide him. And it was those times where hearing from Harisori Prabhu, where Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami and Jiva Goswami actually appeared to Prabhupada. They were apparently wearing just neck beads, beads around their neck. Two of them were elderly looking, Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami, elderly looking. Behind them was Jiva Goswami. And they were just wearing copings, looking very effulgent. They appeared near that samadhi to give darshan to Prabhupada and to guide him as to how to push forth the Krishna conscious movement, how to flood the earth. And it was from that time that Prabhupada actually flourished in his writing. It was flowing. All the anxiety that he had, he just went away. He was actively writing. And he got the mercy to actually sail the seas, landed in Boston. And this was further verified by, from again hearing from Harisori Prabhu, where he said there was another devotee who was associating with Prabhupada in Radha Damodar temple called, what's his name? Chandra Bose, I think. Gopal Chandra Bose. Gopal Chandra Bose was young at that time, and he associating with Prabhupada. One day he actually saw Prabhupada having severe cold, Radha Damodar temple. Okay, Prabhupada was all wrapped up in blanket, severe cold. But amazingly, the next day when Gopal Chandra Bose came to see Prabhupada, Prabhupada was perfectly fine. So Gopal Chandra Bose asked him, "What happened? Yesterday you were so severe, now today you're just effulgent, you're back to normal." Prabhupada answered, "Last night my Guru Maharaj appeared in my dream. He appeared in my dream and he gave me instructions. I was in anxiety about what to write, how to write, but he appeared in my dream and he empowered me, and Prabhupada was so happy." No, it is not about whether our gurus appear in our dreams to give us mercy. It is about what we do with the mercy to distribute it. That's what exactly Prabhupada did. He got all the mercy, all the guidance from the acharyas, and he took it and gave it. Mercy is to be given. We are not qualified to keep it. It's like we got the 4G phone network. Okay? You want to use the 4G terminology in Krishna consciousness? Give, Gauranga. 4G. We should approach our devotional service as though we don't deserve, we don't qualify to receive mercy. Every drop of mercy that we receive, try to give it away. And when you have that mood of giving away, Krishna fills your mercy, fills your heart with even more mercy. It becomes like an Akshaya Patra, never gets emptied. The more you give away, the more it gets filled up. We shouldn't approach Krishna consciousness as though it's for our own liberation. This movement is a movement of giving. We need that determination to be focused, to control our mind, to align our senses. Like Dhruva Maharaj, we saw how determined he was in his lifetime. Very briefly, we know the pastime where he got very offended when he couldn't sit on the lap of his father. He went and complained to him. No, he didn't complain. He went to his mom. His mom also heard from the others who were present, who had seen that episode, where Suruchi actually made some hurtful remarks at Dhruva Maharaj, saying, you were not born from my womb. You're not qualified to sit on your father's lap. Only my son Uttama is qualified. So Dhruva Maharaj got very hurt. Okay, very, very hurt. And then what did his mother advise him? Worship the Lord. And he was so determined to worship the Lord, he went off at 5 years old to the forest. Went on tapasya. Underwent severe austerities. First month when he was in the forest, he ate only every 3 days fruit and berries. Second month when he was in the forest, he ate only dry grass and leaves. Every 6th day, that's what he ate. 3rd month he was in the forest, he drank water every 9th day. 4th month he was in the forest, he controlled his breathing, he inhaled air every 12th day. 5th month, he controlled his senses, his mind, that he could stand motionless on his foot for glorifying the Lord. So much so, the Lord was so, what shall I say, it's difficult for us to actually undergo those kind of penances. But it was something rare that he did, that the Lord gave him darshan.
Nobody could leave.
The world was suffocating. Nobody could breathe. That's how much power he had. And then finally, with the darshan of the Lord, his devotion improved. He came to the realization that devotional service is higher than seeking material opulence. And when death came, he stepped on the head of death and boarded the spiritual plane. Death is coming. As long as we are in the material world, we are going to die. Question is, how are we going to die? What are we going to think about at the time of death? Everything about Krishna consciousness is Ante Narayana Smriti, remembering Krishna at the time of death. In the Mahabharata, there's this wonderful pastime where when the Pandavas were in exile, there was a Brahmin living near their ashram. So one day a deer, it came to the Brahmin's abode and it accidentally took the Arani wood. The Arani wood is a paraphernalia that the Brahmana has to actually chant mantra to generate yagya fires. So the Arani wood got stuck in the deer's antlers and it ran away. So the Brahmana went to the Pandavas and sought assistance to get that Arani wood back. So Yudhishthira Maharaj sent Bhimasen to go looking for the wood. Then Bhima went looking for the wood and he came to a crystal clear lake. He was thirsty. He wanted to drink. He heard a voice. Stop. Don't drink. Answer my questions first before you drink. Otherwise you will die. Bhimasen being Bhimasen, he didn't see anyone. He drank. He died. Okay. Then the other brothers, Arjuna, Nakula, Sahadev, they all followed. They also went to that same lake. They heard that same voice. They drank. They died. Yudhishthira Maharaj finally came, saw all his brothers lying there. And then he heard the same voice. It was Yaksha. Okay, Yaksha then was asking, stop, don't drink. Answer my questions first. And like I said earlier in the class, questions those days were very, very short. Answers were very, very long. So Yaksha asked wonderful questions, very wonderful, amazingly wonderful questions. And even more wonderful was how Yudhishthira Maharaj replied with wonderful answers. And one of the questions was, Kim Ascharyam? What's amazing? Kim Ascharyam? Beautiful reply came from Yudhishthira Maharaj. Ahani ahani bhutani gacchantiya yamalayam sheshaya stavaram icchanti kim ascharyam ataha param. Every day hundreds and thousands of conditioned living entities are dying, but the one that is living continues to live life as though he will live forever and does not plan for his death. Does not plan for his death. What does planning for death here mean? Call your lawyer, prepare your will. Yeah. Check up how much you have in your bank account and put a nominee there, a beneficiary. Planning for death here is all about what we need to do to be able to remember Krishna at the time of death. This life is the preparation of our next life. We know where our destination is to go back to Godhead. We know where we are. We are getting the knowledge through Prabhupada's books. Okay. Raja Vidya, Raja Guyam, we are getting all this wonderful knowledge. So we now need to use our intelligence, apply our intelligence to control our mind and senses, and actually be able to remember Krishna at the time of death, so that we can all go back home to Godhead. Hare Krishna. Questions? Comments?
Tirtha Maharaj used to give seminars in Mayapur about Ariscon communities and how, factually speaking, probably we will be there with each other when each of us dies. So it's not something that's too abstract. It's something we can apply in our lives. I've had my comment.
Yeah, that's a comment, just to add on to that. The fact that we are all associating now here in this lifetime is because in the spiritual world we were associating. That's how we are continuing our association. We all collectively made the foolish decision to leave God. But God is so merciful, He is allowing us to associate here again to now wake up. That bird on the tree has to finally turn around and look at the Paramatma permanently. Turn away from Maya. So, yes, like what Mataji is commenting, we all want to go back and associate there in the spiritual world together with God. Serve God eternally. Any other comments, questions?
Thank you, Guru. Comment on the question. This theme of this verse is often quoted by all the acharyas and Prabhupada, that in the material world, everyone's after the art of living. So, in many lectures, I heard that Krishna consciousness brings a devotee into the collection of art of dying. So, here, the devotee, Prabhupada also mentioned that he's not after of death, so he steps over the death and then achieves the next life. So devotees, they're not after of death once they become devotees, once they become sadhaka. Next question is, you mentioned about the control of the mind and senses. Bhagavad Gita mentioned that the mind is above the senses and the intelligence above the mind. Now, whom actually we have attacked? Because intelligence is there above the mind. So whom we really need to attack and then try to bring under control so that we can become more Krishna conscious?
Bhagavad Gita, text 3, text number 4, verse number 42. Can't remember the verse, but it says, first there is dull matter, then there is senses. Above senses is the mind. Above the mind is intelligence. Above intelligence is the soul. Okay? So, your question is, where should the focus be? Which one to attack? So, if we want to control the mind and senses, we got to first start with our intelligence. Use our intelligence, knowing that we are the spirit soul and that we need to connect with God to re-establish our sambandha. And when that connection takes place, then we go back. But we are here, so therefore, before we can even attack at the soul level, we got to start with attacking, using our intelligence to work on the mind and the senses. As I said, we are engaged mainly using our senses for devotional service. And we all know, we are trying hard to align our mind with the activity of devotion that we are doing. For whatever, you may be sweeping or cleaning the floor of the temple. And it depends on what's through the mind of the devotee who's cleaning the temple floor at that time. So it's all about aligning the mind with the activity, meaning meditating on the Lord in the mind as we are doing the activity as well. Hope that answers your question. I don't know if it did. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Hare Krishna. Mm-hmm.